The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Bigger than ever health budgets, but still problems remain. What's the big challenge in health for the next government? Who has the most convincing plan to tackle patients waiting on trolleys? What will it take to fix child and adolescent mental health services waiting times? And whose policy will best ensure equality of outcomes? We'll have all of that and more on tonight's Late Debate. Joining me for the programme tonight are Cullum Burke, Fine Gael candidate for Cork North Central, joining us from Cork. John Lyons, independent candidate for Dublin Bay North. Lorraine Clifford-Lee, Fianna Fáil candidate for Fingal West. Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin candidate for Fingal West. And Paul Lawless, Aonthu candidate for Mayo, joining us from our Galway studio. You can watch the programme live now at rte.ie/radio. And we're also live on the RTE News channel if you want to tune in there either. Now, first, some housekeeping. For the listeners' benefit, we do want to hear from everyone. And in order to do that, we'll need everyone to refrain from interrupting each other. We've deliberately made it easier in our format tonight to avoid that happening. Candidates will get a minute and a half to answer each question, and we'll follow up with specific questions on other areas. They'll be given ample time to answer that as well. We'll also fit in some time for rebuttal and follow-up questions. So, as I say, for the listeners' benefit, let everybody say their piece. If you're directly challenged, we will return to you for the right of reply. For people who don't choose to directly rebut somebody else, we will come back to them for additional time, maybe to elaborate on an issue they've run out of time for. Now, our first question is about staffing levels in the HSE. Health spending has increased 25.8 billion euro. That's an increase of around 2.5 billion euro on last year. And despite this, nursing representatives told the Oireachtas Health Committee last month that many areas of the country are not staffed to a safe level. Now, the first question we're going to ask is, we'd like our candidates to address the following specific issues. Are you committing to maintain safe staffing numbers to agreed levels in the country's hospitals, number one? And number two, what spending increase, if any, would be required to do that under your plan? We're going to give you a minute and a half to answer that question. Cullum Burke, Fine Gael candidate for Cork North Central, we'll begin with you.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here with you. The issue in relation to staffing in our health service is that since December 2014, the number of people working in the HSE has increased from 103,000 to over 147,000. So we've increased the staffing numbers in the HSE quite substantially. That's including in the medical side, but also in relation to nursing. For instance, the number of nurses and midwives has increased from 38,000 to over 47,000. That's from 2019. To 2024. Now, in relation to safe staffing levels, every effort will be made to make sure that safe staffing levels are maintained in all hospitals. And it's about making sure that we have an adequate number of people in training who can come out, and once they come out, they can avail of jobs that are becoming vacant. What happened in 2023, there were more staff taken on in HSC than what the budget provided for. That has now been resolved. We put in an extra 2.5 billion for the forthcoming budget so as to deal with that additional cost. But the real issue is that we have increased staff substantially, and we are getting the returns. For instance, the numbers attending outpatients has increased dramatically, over 3.7 million outpatient appointments in 2023. So the return is being made as a result of the additional staff being provided.
Okay. John Lyons, independent candidate for Dublin Bay North.
Well, look, I think we need to be quite clear that there is a severe shortage of staff right across the healthcare system. The INMO have facts and figures released to general election candidates and to constituents and their own members that show there's 2,000 vacancies, nurse and midwives, right across the whole sector. We do not currently have safe staffing levels, nowhere close to it. And it's quite incredible when you look around and you think, you look at the assessment of needs and you look at the number of SLTs, the speech and language therapists we need, occupational therapists, psychologists. We just don't have the numbers. In order to reduce that backlog for AONs, and I hope we get into it, Cullum, because it's a serious issue for many people.
That's assessment of need.
Assessment of need. The HSE's disability team, Bernard O'Regan, estimates that there will be about 20,000 assessment of needs by the end of this year, waiting to be completed. That's 20,000 children and their parents who have been currently failed by the HSE, by Fine Gael and by Fianna Fáil. It's an outrageous system to allow this type of crisis to occur in our health system. And I think we need the political will. We cannot allow Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to be anywhere near our health system ever again. They've just absolutely decimated. It's so difficult for the staff working in there when they're overworked. They're completely stretched. Many of them are burnt out. Some of them are leaving. It's quite incredible. So we need a radical reset in terms of our approach to the healthcare system, where we actually listen to the members, the people working there every day, to their unions, and we sit down and we agree the numbers that are required in the years ahead to actually meet the healthcare needs of children, young people, old people. Every single person deserves the best healthcare that they can, and right now they're not getting that in any way, shape or form. Okay. It's outrageous.
Lorraine Clifford-Lee, Fianna Fáil candidate for Fine Gael West.
Significant progress has been made in the health service over the past 4.5 years. Waiting lists have come down. They were at 13 months. They've come down to 7 months. Now, this is still above where we want to see it, but significant progress has been made, and that's down to the effort made by our healthcare workers. There's now 28,500 extra healthcare workers in the system. Significant progress, as I said, has been made in outpatients and bringing these waiting lists down. There are more GPs coming into the system, and now for every 1.5 GP retiring, 3 are coming into the system. So the Irish College of General Practitioners have said by 4 years, in 4 years' time, we will have sufficient GPs.
We are going to come back to that issue specifically shortly in a subsequent question. But just on this issue of safe staffing levels, and I'll give you an extra few seconds.
And we are making significant progress in that, and we want to continue with that and continue with the recruitment of tens of thousands of extra healthcare workers into the system.
Okay, Louise O'Reilly.
Before I was elected in 2016, I served as a full-time trade union official. I represented workers working within our healthcare sector, predominantly nurses, but also healthcare assistants and porters and other staff. So I'm in touch with them on a very regular basis, and what they will tell me very clearly is that the staffing levels are making their working conditions unsafe. You only have to look at the number of nursing graduates that are already signed up to go to work in places like Dubai and Australia to see the utter shambles that the government are making of staffing recruitment. We do need to adequately staff our health service. We also need to reduce the over-reliance on expensive agency staff and use that conversion of agency staff into directly employed staff. For example, if you converted 34% of the agency hours, it would give you additional funding for approximately 3,000 whole-time equivalent posts. The staffing of our health services is absolutely essential, but we also need to ensure that our graduates want to come and to work within the HSE, within the health service. As it stands, we can see the evidence is that they don't. So in order to ensure that when they come out of college, that they go straight into a public service job, Sinn Féin will offer a job guarantee. At the moment, you wait for months and months and months to get a permanent contract, although there is a permanent job. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have put in place another recruitment moratorium. We know, obviously, it was something that was dreamed up by Fianna Fáil many years ago, but it's been done again now. So the recruitment moratorium, an embargo on recruitment, will not help to safely staff our health services.
You're out of time on this one. Paul Lawless, Aintu candidate for Mayo, on that issue of the union reps telling the Oireachtas Health Committee that there were many areas of the country not operating at safe staffing levels. What would you do? Do you agree with that analysis, first of all, and what would you do to address it?
First thing is to say that there are significant issues in terms of staffing, and there's no doubt that patient safety, patient standards are being significantly compromised. I get phone calls every day of the week in relation to this, both from staff of Mayo University Hospital and patients as well. And the truth is that during the midst of this health crisis, this government introduced a recruitment freeze. And I know many patients, many families with nurses abroad who wanted to come home, and they're essentially locked out of the HSE system during this time. And, you know, we cannot afford it, like it's often, we often often talk about the costs in relation to it. But the truth is, the number of adverse events that have happened in the HSE over the last number of years has been significant. Over the past 10 years, 2.5 billion euros has been paid out as a result of adverse incidents. And we know this is a huge consequence of this is inadequate staffing levels. 107,000 adverse events happened just last year. And over the last 5 years, over 3,000 people have actually died from such events. So, you know, we can no longer allow this system to continue. The staffing levels need to be addressed. And we will certainly put in place the policies to ensure this happens in terms of reducing their reliance on agency staff. And indeed, working with our wonderful and our brightest minds who have actually voted with their feet and left the HSE. You know, a significant number of my friends who graduated from medicine and nursing and so on have actually left this country. And they haven't, and they've left because, the reality of staying in terms of the working conditions is just unacceptable to them. We need to ensure that we address it and bring them home.
Your minute and a half is up. And we'll be back to you. We're going to give people just a minute and a half for rebuttal. To you first, Colin Burke, you mentioned the figure of 47,500 people who have, in the whole time equivalent census.
147,000.
There's a whole time equivalent census on nursing that says there's 47,500 people which has been put out by the HSE.
Yes.
The INMO disputes that figure. They say the increase is far short of that. What do you say to that?
I don't accept that. I mean, we get figures from the HSE, and I've been getting these figures every 6 months from the HSE. I followed up every 6 months for the last 10 years. I mean, I gave you the figure for 2014, 103,000 whole-time equivalents work in the HSE. It's now 147,000 in total. In nursing staff, it's 38,000 gone up to 47,394. They're the figures. They're the salaries that are being paid out. And yes, there are challenges in hospitals. There's no question or doubt about that, because the volume of work has increased. Remember, the population of this country has increased by 1.5 million. We just had the figures published in relation to employment created in the last 12 months. 98,000 more people at work this year compared to this time last year. So there's been a growth in population. Therefore, there's then a growth in relation to demand on our health services. And that's why we need to respond faster, and that's what we're saying. If we go back into government, we need to fast track, and we will fast track infrastructure, because you can appoint all the people you like, but unless the infrastructure is there, they can't deliver the service that they want to deliver. And that's why elective hospitals are so important. That's why surgical hubs are so important to deliver those services.
All right. John Lyons, 1 in 5 consultant posts not filled. That's despite the introduction of a public-only contract that pays €250,000. Do you have an idea to fill those 1 in 5 costs, 1 in 5 posts? Because it seems that remuneration isn't the key to it.
Well, if you look at, I think we need to step back. I'd like to respond to Colin there in terms of just, if we step back and actually be a little bit honest with each other and not get lost in the figures and actually talk about what's actually happening in the health system, you need to acknowledge that it's in a very difficult situation. And let's address the consultant situation. In 1980, there was not one private bed in the Irish healthcare system. And now there's about 1,500. And at the same time, they removed roughly around the same number of public beds from the system too. So we have a public-private system of healthcare in this country, which is serving nobody but the very wealthiest individuals like Larry Goodman and Dennis O'Brien, who invest in private healthcare. The public system is under a lot of strain, and the workers are under a lot of strain. In order to, I think, entice the consultants into the public system, we need to ensure that, yes, obviously the pay has to be good, but I think the conditions, their working terms and conditions have to be excellent too. And I think we need a bit of a shared vision with regard to health right across the island, not just the Republic, but in the north as well. We're an island of 7 million. I think we need to to step back and agree a vision and a way forward for how we actually meet the healthcare needs of everyone on the island. And I think everyone should play their part in that. And a key crucial element of that is to remove the private healthcare system from healthcare.
That's the way it exists at the moment, I suppose, and individuals are entitled to invest in it if they want. Lorraine Clifford-Lee, the situation of the 1 in 5 consultants posts not filled, and indeed radiation posts, is a 25 to 30% shortage in those areas as well. I mean, not everything is good in the staffing area of the health service.
Well, it's actually an attractive system because a lot of medical practitioners from Northern Ireland are actually relocating south, and we have evidence, and Dr. Tom Black from the medical board, the Northern Ireland section, has said that paying conditions are attracting medical professionals from the north, south, and that the health service here is far better than it is in Northern Ireland. So this idea that it's somehow a shambles is not the case. There's definitely room for improvement. We have to make significant progress, but we have already made significant progress. Our population is expanding. We're trying to recruit. We have recruited over 28,000 healthcare professionals, and filling those consultant positions is a challenge, but it's one that we are meeting.
Okay, Louise O'Reilly, same question to you. On the consultant post specifically, there's an attractive, or it's supposed to be an attractive, public-only contract. What's your idea for attracting sufficient consultants in to fill those posts?
Well, I think we need to make the health service a decent place to work, a place that people actively want to work in. We need to see, because a lot of the services that are delivered historically have been consultant-led services. Now, we could debate all day whether or not they're better to be nurse-led or consultant-led or whatever, but as it stands, the system is a lot of services are consultant-led. So the consultants need staff to be able to deliver the services. So when you speak to representatives from the Hospital Consultants Association, they will tell you that it isn't an attractive place to work simply because the staffing levels are so low. They cannot do the job that we need them to do simply because the staffing levels are so low. And Colm, I represented nurses for almost a decade. I understand and I know them, and I'm friends with many of them. The last place they ever want to be is on a picket line, and yet they have been forced by this government onto the picket line simply for safe staffing. That's what they are on the picket line for, safe staffing. And they have been joined, they were on a very long campaign, but they've been joined now by other healthcare professionals from SIPTU and from FORSA, and they are on the picket line for safe staffing levels.
Paul Lawless, the same question to you. On the consultants, if the current contract's not working, what's Aintu's idea to fill those consultant posts and attract people in?
The health sector now operates in an international marketplace, and I think we need to be aware of that. And I think we do need to compete internationally, and that is what is happening. We're losing some of our best people in the health space because our pay and conditions. I think we do need to compete on the international marketplace, but we also need to radically improve the working conditions in terms of what's happening on the ground. I know in Mayo University Hospital that patients are regularly treated on chairs and on trolleys in corridors. There's no dignity in such a place to be treated, and staff are just totally demoralised. They're leaving because not just because of pay, but the conditions and the fact that they feel they can no longer do their job. They trained, they had the calling to help people in terms of their healthcare, and they find the system time and time again preventing them from doing that. And many of my generation have left on that basis. We need to ensure that we actually address the issues of pay and conditions, compete in the international marketplace but also to address the working conditions in the country.
Okay,
at the moment.
Your time is up. I want to move on to another issue, because there are a number of election manifestos out looking at the area of general practice. The Irish College of General Practitioners recommends a level of 100 GPs per 100,000 people in Ireland. Now, some areas of the country, like Meath, have GP numbers equivalent to 50 per 100,000. Others in the country are better. Sligo is as according to Medical Council data from 2024, is up around the 100 level. But we're asking our candidates here tonight if they agree, first of all, with that figure of 100 per 100,000, and how soon, if so, are you committing to get to that level if in government? Lorraine Clifford Lee, to you first. You have a minute and a half.
Extra GPs into the system is a core plank of the Fianna Fáil Health Manifesto, and it's something that we have been working on over the past couple of years. There has been over 1,000 new GPs into the system in Ireland. We're below the levels that are required, and we are committed to delivering upon those levels. And for every 1.5 GP leaving the system, now there are 3 coming into the system. So by their own figures, we should be reaching that level in the next 4 years, which is significant. We've been opening up training places for GPs over the past number of years, and now those GPs that started the training under the lifetime of this government are coming into the system. So we're not where we want to be at yet. We've made significant progress, and we will be at that point in 4 years.
Okay. John Lyons.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is, Colm, this is one of the biggest issues that I get from people, is the difficulty in getting an appointment with their local GP. Right across Coolock, Darndale, Dunamead, Eden, Markle, Barrack, people are saying they're waiting a week and a half to see a GP. We know that 2/3 of GPs have closed their list to new patients. We know that 1/4 of GPs are 60 years of age or over. So again, it's a failure of planning by government, by Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the HSE. It's like failures just institutionalised within these particular parties and bodies, and it's just not good enough. So we need to increase radically the number of GP training places. Absolutely, I say 3-4-fold. We need to have ambition. We have the demographics, we have the information, we know we have an ageing population, an increasing population. We just need to plan accordingly, and there's a failure to do that.
Well, Fianna Fáil,
Fine Gael, and it's just not happening on an adequate basis. And again, people's healthcare is at risk here. People are going, many people can't even afford to go to their GP. If they can get an appointment, they're choosing not to go because of the costs involved. The cost shouldn't be any barrier for a person accessing healthcare. So, look, we need a real commitment from any candidate who is serious about delivering change in the healthcare system. Okay. So that hasn't been there to date, and I pledge the people in my area that I'll do all I can to deliver on that and provide new GP services right across Dublin Bay North.
Okay, the situation as it stands at the moment is 74, but this is according to a survey by the Irish College of General Practitioners, 74% of GPs are not taking on private patients due to retiring members of the practice or an inability to replace retirees, and 79% are not taking on new medical card patients. So, Colin Burke, to you, do you agree with the figure of 100 GPs per 100,000, and how soon would you get to it if you were elected and taking part in the next government?
Absolutely, and I suppose over the last few years we've been working with the Irish College of General Practitioners about increasing the numbers. Where the numbers in training has gone from, they've now recently increased it from 280 to 350 per annum, so that's 350 trainees. And we're also bringing in people from abroad. There's a scheme that they have now created where people who can come in from abroad, who've already practiced abroad, go through a 2-year training programme where it's 100 people that took in last year, and I understand they took in another 100 people this year, so they will be out and available. Now, they're already working practices as part of their training because they already have the expertise, but it's about getting used to the Irish system and working within the Irish system. So that's, if you add those two figures together, you'll have about 450 GPs qualifying. And the other thing I think it's important to realise as well is that one of the big successes of the Irish College of General Practitioners about training is that less than 6% of those people who train on the 4-year training course at the moment leave the country. The vast majority of them stay here, 94% of them stay here to work here. And I think that's a really good message. And it's about the way the Irish College of General Practitioners have their training programme in place and then the follow-up in relation to employment.
OK. Paul Lawless, same question to you. Do you agree with the 100 per 100,000 figure of the Irish College of General Practitioners? And how would you propose getting there if you were in the next government?
The general practice was the last remaining functioning part of the health service, and it's a slow moving car crash. That is what we are witnessing in terms of general practice. We need to radically increase the number of GPs, and we do agree in relation to the general practice of Irish practitioners. Like, the situation on the ground here is incredibly frustrating for so many. Three GPs in Claremorris, the town that I represent, retired in recent years. None of those GPs have been replaced. Their patient lists have been absorbed into the existing GPs in the town. And we have a region in the west from Tuam to Castlereagh that is no longer taking on any new patients. It's resulting in significant difficulties around the management of chronic diseases. House visits and for bedbound and sick patients are almost a thing of the past now in Mayo. What is happening is it's pushing people and patients who would ordinarily have seen by their GP into the emergency departments right across this country, and it's bringing the emergency system into significant difficulty. We are about 2,000 GPs shy of where we need to be, and about a quarter of all GPs in the country are over the age of 60. And you know, your Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael politicians there talk about we're doing something. I mean, we have no workplace planning in this country. One of the reasons
your time is up on that. I'm going to run around the table. Everybody's going to get 45 seconds on rebuttal here. Colin Burke, we'll go to you first. Do you want to take issue with that?
I think it's important to realise that in this country, life expectancy in Ireland is one of the highest in Europe. We have the highest number of people over 82 years of age. That's a credit to our health service and the way it is managed. We have, yes, there are areas that we need to improve. We're continuing to do that, and that's based on what we're setting out in our programme from government as regards increasing the GP training places, as regards increasing the number of people we take on in our hospitals in order that we can deliver the service. We have created nearly 1 million jobs in the since 2011, since we went into government. In 2011, over 1 million more people now work in this country. Therefore, we have an increasing population. We must continue to increase services, and in particular in relation to the whole healthcare area. And that's what we will do in government.
Okay, Louise O'Reilly.
So in our healthcare plan, Prescription for Change, we outline the way in which we will reform the community healthcare sector, because it is in disarray. In my own constituency, I know that many of my constituents will wait for a week or more to get an appointment with their GP. And the GP is the mainstay of community-based care. So what we need to do is we need to look at the reasons why people may not wish to set up the small business model, why that may not be attractive. And what we want to do is develop a public-only employment contract which will cover those service gaps. So for towns like Balbriggan, for towns like Rush, Skerries, Lusk, places where the population has expanded but the services have not expanded to meet that, that means they really need that public only contract. They need that gap to be covered. It's not good enough that people would wait a week or 2 weeks merely for an appointment with their GP. Sinn Féin have a plan to address it. Okay. And our plan is comprehensive, it is costed, and it has been constructed in consultation with healthcare professionals as well as patient advocacy groups
John
and
Lyons.
Experts.
Like, a core element of the staunch care plan for the health system to radically transform it for the better into a single-tier public health system that's universally accessible for all is care in the community. It's primary care. And on that level and on that front, we are absolutely not living up to our responsibilities to provide that care in the community. It's so difficult for people. And so, like, again, if we can't even get the care in the community element of staunch care in place, then we're failing and we won't. And it's 7 years on from the introduction of staunch care, to which every party in the Oireachtas summed up to. And it's going nowhere. And it's going nowhere very painfully slowly. And the GP element of that is just reflecting the wider crisis within the failure of staunch care to be implemented by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
OK, Paul Lawless.
I think one of the biggest difficulties that people have is around the lack of accountability in the health service as a whole. Like, I mean, you know, the leaders' debate last night, Simon Harris failed to answer a simple question. Did he sign the contract for the National Children's Hospital? This is a major concern. People want to know, you know, there's no accountability taken, no accountability for the cervical check scandal. And, you know, I'd like to ask Deputy Colin Burke, did Simon Harris, as the Minister for Health, sign the contract for the National Children's Hospital? It's a simple question, and people deserve to have accountability over this issue.
All right, we'll come back. We'll come back for a one-word answer from Colin Burke in a second. But Lorraine Clifford Lee, to you next.
I'm glad Louise mentioned the healthcare plan that Sinn Féin have produced. In fairness to them, 80% of what's in their plan is actually a continuation of what we're doing and what we're planning to do. So we agree on that. The public-only GP contract, I wonder if the GPs have been consulted with that. What we are doing is planning for the future. As I said, we're going to hit the ideal number of GPs for this country in a matter of years. And that's been a significant step forward. Significant progress has been made. Extra GPs. Training places have opened up, as Colm outlined. The GPs are by and large staying in the system because the system works and the system is good. We need to have the GPs to match our growing population, but that is working. We're bringing GPs from abroad into the country and they're very happy and it's working very well. And we should be at that level within 4 years, and we need to continue with the progress we're making.
Okay. Colin Burke, I take it the answer to that question is yes. The responsible minister and government of the day did sign off on that contract.
But remember, it was a contract for the structure only. It wasn't for the contract for the entire operation. There were two separate parts to that contract. So, and the one other thing, can I say, just, there's a similar project.
So he signed the contract.
There's two separate parts to that contract. The first part was in relation to the structure, not the full hospital build, and that has been fully explained. Okay. And can I just say one other thing? There is a similar project being built in Canada at the moment.
Okay,
we want to get to
other issues here. Mental health is our next topic. Child and adolescent mental health services specifically, and staffing again is regarded as a huge challenge in this area. So we're going to ask our candidates tonight, what's your costed specific strategy to provide consultants, medical therapeutic services in this area, specialist areas like eating disorders? Have you taken this into consideration? And as I say, what is your specific strategy for dealing with the situation in child and adolescent mental health services? In this situation, it's worse than the health service. More than a third of consultant posts aren't filled, according to the Irish College, the Irish Hospital Consultants Association. We're going to go to you, Paul Lawless, first on this.
It's what's happening in terms of CAMHS is really, really, really worrying. There's been an 81% rise in the number of children waiting to access CAMHS, and we know that the distribution of service in the country is incredibly sporadic, and as a result, it is essentially a postcode lottery. We need to ensure that we ramp up massively the number of specialists in terms of mental care. We want to see a multi annual commitment from government in relation to it. And as a teacher myself, I think we need to be much more proactive in terms of mental health. We have a serious issue with children and young people in terms of phone use. Over the campaign, what really struck me is the fact that the estates and streets, even during the local campaign, were empty. Empty because children are no longer playing outside with their friends and instead engaging in the online space. And we absolutely need to address this. We need to tackle it. And actually, one of the items that Aintu wanted to introduce in the last government was to actually ban the use of pornography for under 18s, and that was rejected by this government. An incredible situation, but we absolutely need to address mental health. We need to ensure the services are there.
All right,
but we need to be proactive.
Your time is up on this one. We need to get
to
Louise. Louise O'Reilly, on this one, mental health, specifically child and adolescent mental health services, the understaffing in this area and the need for investment. What's your specific proposal on this?
Well, again, what we need to see here is a job guarantee so that we can keep our health and social care professionals within the child and adolescent mental health services. In my constituency, the people that I represent, wait for months. I spoke to a mother from North County Dublin late last week. She has a 15-year-old son who is experiencing suicidal ideation. She was, and I cannot stress enough how worried and distraught this woman was, but to be told that he will have to wait and wait up to 8 to 10 weeks before he's going to be able to access the therapy that he needs is utterly, 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 utterly unacceptable. So what we have set out is our €250 million 5-year mental health action plan. It is a massive investment in our mental health services, but it has to do two things. As well as coping with what's happening today, we need to deal with the deficit, but we also need to plan for our future. So, you know, for constituencies like mine and for areas like North County Dublin, where we have a really fast growing population, we should be investing in the child and adolescent mental health services at a much, much higher rate. That's not happening, and we are experiencing waiting times that are unacceptable.
Look, in relation to mental health and disability services, Niall Muldoon, the Ombudsman for Children, accused the HSC of being guilty of a grave violation of children's rights. And he's quite correct and spot on to say that. In terms of children and young people trying to access mental health support when they need it, it's a postcode lottery. And again, it's reflecting an absolute abdication of responsibility to forward plan and to actually fund the services with regard to mental health. The mental health budget should be at least 10% of the overall health budget. It's nowhere near it. We need a massive increase in investment in the health services. And again, we need to ensure that workers that go into those professionals who have a strong work ethic and a vocation and a care and a commitment to providing the best services are actually offered the best terms and conditions to work in that sector. So again, the failure of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to actually deal and plan and invest properly is letting down, and it is gravely violating the rights of so many thousands of children and their families. It's outrageous.
Okay. Colin Burke, 4,000 people on the waiting list for CAMHS. Quite a number of people, I think 28% of the consultant psychiatry posts for CAMHS not filled. What are you going to do to deal with that if you're in the next government?
Well, the priority is to recruit people to fill those vacancies, and every effort is going to be made to do that. But we also need to look at the whole infrastructure and make sure we need to upgrade. For instance, it has happened in relation to public nursing homes, where over a period of time there wasn't any refurbishment completed. We've now refurbished a huge number of public nursing homes right across the country. We need to do the same thing in relation to the mental health services, and we need to make sure we upgrade and bring them up to what's acceptable at this stage. That's the programme that we want to do over the next 5 years. And then we also need to focus not only consultants but also the support staff, because CAMHS is about a team effort. It's not just about one person, it's a team of people, and we need to build up those teams in each of the areas. And that's what we want to focus on over the next 5 years, to make sure that every area has a full team working with the people who require the support. And it's always so very important to understand that it's not just the person who requires the treatment, but the family also needs support. And it is a very difficult time for people where they have a young person that needs that support and can get access. That's why it must be prioritised.
Okay, Lorraine Clifford Lee, on that, the shortages in the child and adolescent mental health services, what would you do to address that if in government next time?
Well, there has been record investment into the child and adult mental health service, and the allocation for 2025 is $1.5 billion. We're going to continue to invest in it. We're going to continue with the no wrong door policy. We've established dual diagnosis hubs, and that was really, really important for young people that might be suffering from alcohol addiction or drug addiction and a mental health problem. But we have to continue to recruit both nationally and internationally and retain those workers. Have a full team approach to tackling mental health problems in young people, and have a holistic approach of government.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. You're welcome back. We're talking to candidates about the issue of health, and joining us tonight are Colm Burke, Fine Gael candidate for Cork North Central, John Lyons, independent candidate for Dublin Bay North, Lorraine Clifford-Lee, Fianna Fáil candidate for Fingal West, Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin candidate for Fingal West, and Paul Lawless, Aintu candidate for Mayo. We're going to have a look at the issue of hospital beds now, because according to the Trolley Watch figure tonight, there are 525 people on trolleys in Irish hospitals. On the same night last year, there were 509 people on trolley, so that's an increase of 16 from this time last year. And in the most high profile hospital suffering from overcrowding, UHL, University Hospital Limerick, there are 116 people on trolleys today. That's up on 20 on the same day last year. So we're going to ask our candidates this evening, how much would you reduce the numbers in the lifetime of the next government, and how soon and by what means? And we'll start with Louise O'Reilly.
So what we are proposing is 5,000 new hospital beds that will take up to 2031, and that will include replacements for 1,000 unsafe beds. Our plan will aim to eliminate hospital overcrowding by 2032, supported by 2,000 community beds. I think it's very notable. There was no mention of community beds in the Fianna Fáil manifesto. Community beds are incredibly important. Not everybody needs to be in acute hospital. Some people need access to those really, really important, vital, locally based community beds. We need to plan for population increase, but we also need to have a zero tolerance approach to people left on trolleys, because when you are left on a trolley overnight, the only reason you get counted is because a consultant, a doctor, has said that you need to be in a hospital bed. And I don't know if anyone in this room has had to be with a relative, and I have recently stuck on a trolley in one of our hospitals. Everyone says the same thing, Colm. They cannot fault the staff. The staff are doing their best. The staff are working in intolerable conditions. But no nurse working in A&E tonight trains in how to treat people on trolleys and on chairs. It is absolutely unacceptable. It has become so normalised. We now announce the trolley numbers as if it is just a natural and a normal part of the healthcare delivery. It isn't, and it shouldn't be tolerated.
Okay, Paul Lawless, to you next on that. If Aintu were in government, what would you do to reduce people on trolleys, and how soon would you do it in the lifetime of the next government?
The first thing to say is we're not just going to throw money at this problem. This has been happening for by successive governments. Where government essentially just throws money at the problem. We see it so often. We want to actually ensure accountability happens within the public service and the HSE. We see a situation where nobody, it seems, is held accountable for the National Children's Hospital. We know that the National Maternity Hospital is in a similar situation in terms of the tendering documents and the loops and the gap holes that exist there. We want to implement an activity-based funding model, a model where that is patient-focused, patient-centred, where essentially the money follows the patient, and that will ensure that we get away from this layers and layers of middle management and mismanaged management. The ratio at the moment is 1-4 for every four people working on the front line. We have one layer of middle management that needs to reduce. We need to ensure the money follows the patient, and hospitals and indeed contracts are tied to the performance in relation to the output. All it's crucially important that this happens. Otherwise, we are going to see a further more and more money thrown at the problem. We also want to increase step-down facilities as well.
And Colm Burke, same question to you. People on trolleys up since this time last year. How would you reduce those numbers? By how much and how soon?
Well, there's a number of things that have already started in relation to reducing the number of people going into accident and emergency. For instance, the programme that some of the hospitals now have where they call to nursing homes where a nursing home wants someone to be admitted, the assessment is carried out in the nursing home. And I think in one case, in one hospital where there were 300 calls, only 20 of the 300 had to be transferred from the nursing home to the hospital. That's one. The other issue that we need to do is minor injuries unit. We have a very successful minor injuries unit in Cork, where rather than going to accident emergency, you're going through a minor injuries unit. It runs very efficiently, very effectively, and we need to open a number of additional minor injuries units. We also need to increase the number of hospital beds. As I said, the population has increased, but also the number of people over 65 has increased dramatically. And by the end of 2030, over a million people, at the moment over 833,000 people are over 65. By 2030, that will be a million. And at any one time, 50% of all hospital beds are occupied by people who are over that age group. Therefore, we have to increase the number of beds and we have to increase it very fast. Okay. The other one that we've clearly set out is the is the building of four elective hospitals, one in Galway, two in Dublin, one in Cork.
Okay.
That's extremely important so that a whole lot of surgical procedures, which are day procedures, can be carried out away from the main hospitals. Okay. That's something that we're going to
deliver. John Lyons.
Yeah, I think the trolley watch should be, the title should be amended to trolley and chair watch. The number of people that I've met over recent months telling me that they were sitting on a chair for hours on end. One man this evening, Colm, in the Glen in Coolock, more than happy, it was him that raised it, that his wife, who's in her early 80s with a spinal problem, was forced to sit on a chair for, I think he said, 14 hours. He couldn't even get a cushion or a pillow. He went home, back up to Coolock to get a pillow and brought it in to make sure his wife was somewhat comfortable. She was sitting on that trolley for hours more before she was seen. That's not the fault of the staff. That's the fault of the HSC, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. They removed over the last 40 years in order to begin the privatisation of the healthcare system. They removed over 1,000 public beds from the system to facilitate the growth and emergence and embeddedness of the private healthcare system. And that means, at the very least, we need to replace those 1,000 beds that have been removed to make way for the private health system at the very beginning. It's intolerable. In a republic, nobody should be left waiting on a chair or a trolley.
Okay.
It's beyond comprehension that we would treat our people like that.
Lorraine Clifford Lee, ESRI estimating 5,000 additional beds are needed, but as it stands, as I say, 525 people on trolleys in Irish hospitals tonight. So what would you do to reduce those figures and how soon would you do it?
Well, Fianna Fáil's focus, if we're elected to government the next time, will be tens of thousands of extra healthcare workers, thousands more hospital beds, and to continue to build out community care and to get waiting lists down to below 2.5 months. And actually, I think it's important to note that over the last 2 years, the number of people on trolleys have actually come down. There are some hospitals where there are zero trolleys, like Tullamore and Waterford. We still have outliers, of course. We all know the situation in UHL. But there are more and more hospitals that are coming to the position that they have zero people on trolleys or very few people on trolleys. There's been a hyper focus on St James's Hospital, Talla Hospital, St Vincent's as well, and significant progress has been made in those hospitals. So we have a way to go on it, but we have to acknowledge significant progress has been made by our healthcare workers, and we will, if we're in government, increase the hospital beds.
And how soon would you estimate that would be in place in the lifetime of the next government, in a radical reduction?
Well, we have already seen a radical reduction, and I suspect it will come down to the opening of the hospital beds and the recruitment, and that work is ongoing.
Okay. We're going to go to outcomes in the Irish health sector, because Irish health outcomes have improved since the turn of the century. Infant mortality has more than halved, deaths in childhood have halved, but there is a five-year gap in life expectancy between people in the most deprived and the least deprived areas. So we're asking our candidates to know if they have a specific targeted strategy to address the issue of health inequality and your single biggest idea to address it. And which should also be added there, manual and agricultural workers are more likely to die of respiratory diseases. So Colin Burke, to you first on that one, the specific issue of health inequality, what's the big idea to address it?
The big idea is primary care centres, where you have a whole range of services provided within within the community. And I think it's important in my own constituency in Grundleburgher, we have a primary care centre, a whole range of services from psychiatric services to physiotherapy services to GP services. And it's important, likewise in Ballincollig, a new primary care centre opened there. We've now gone in for planning for three more, one in Blarney, one in Mayfield and one in Glanmire. The planning has gone in for Glanmire. The planning for Blarney is going in next week. So they're very important. But also about education, getting information out to people is extremely important. And there's various ways we can do that. And I think, you know, part of my job in the Department of Health is public health and well-being. It's about making sure we can get information out there, and we need modern ways of getting that. And that's what I have asked my own department to work on, to get to those people who need the information and that they then can act on it. And I think that's extremely important.
Okay. John Lyons.
Yeah, look, just to state, I think quite clearly that in a republic, no one's life should be shorter and tougher just because they have less money than others. The health inequalities in this country are stark. I think there was a report, I was at it, the launch of it last week in Ballyfermot, in conjunction with the Royal College of Surgeons and the Healthy Ireland Local Government. They talk about community perspectives on health needs and assets in Sláintecare Healthy Communities Programme areas in Dublin, including Darndale, Priorswood, Kilmore West, Cabra, Finglas, Cherry Orchard, Ballyfermot. And it's calling for a national emergency to be declared in health inequalities. And for whoever is in the next government, and I hope to play my part in that, for them to declare that national emergency in health inequalities and to establish a national task force on health inequalities and a series of local task force, which will actually seriously address all of the social determinants that affect people's health. That's housing, antisocial behaviour, the drug dealing, the drug intimidation, all of the poor quality air, all of the various issues that impact really negatively upon the quality of life of people living in good communities, but very much disadvantaged by state policy over a number of decades. So that's clear. It's one of the good things, Colm, that's come from Sláintecare was this particular Sláintecare Healthy Communities Initiative in conjunction with the Royal College of Surgeons. But my fear is that they will not, whoever, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael get back in, they will not in any way be serious about implementing the recommendations of this report, which I think everyone should read.
Okay, Lorraine Clifford Lee.
Well, more people than ever before have medical cards and GP cards. But the expansion of the primary care centres is really, really important, and we've done that in government and we hope to be in a position to continue that. But the social determinants, as John outlined, are very important. The public health campaigns around smoking, alcohol, vaccination. We are on track to eliminate cervical cancer through vaccination, which is really, really significant. Healthy eating and the free school meals programme that was introduced under this government has been really significant at tackling healthy eating within schools. And now every school from next September will have free hot school meals. So these are all the measures that we're targeting to create healthy communities and allowing access to services within communities through the primary care centres.
Okay, Louise O'Reilly.
So we had published previously the health waiting list bill, which will give legal effect to targets for waiting list times. And I think that is absolutely essential. It was one of the recommendations of the Sláintecare report. I sat on the committee that developed the Sláintecare report, and it was one of the key recommendations because people left on waiting lists are really in, certainly when what I see, people who are forced to put their lives on hold simply because they cannot access care, parents forced to watch their kids in pain because they cannot access the life-changing surgery that they need. So there are too many people in this state stuck on waiting lists because of the policies of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. We need to ensure that we address that, not by recruiting, as Fianna Fáil say, thousands and thousands and thousands of workers. We need to set a target, 40,000 health and social care professionals by 2030. We need to ensure that that is delivered by doubling the training places, introducing a bursary and making sure that our health service is staffed. Multi-annual funding is important so that we can plan for the future and ensure that we don't have the torture that people are under waiting for care at the moment. I think what we see is a complete lack of ambition from the government time and time again. They have normalised waiting times, they have normalised trolley counts,
not at all.
And they have normalised
waiting times have
let me finish. They have normalised for people merely because
down to 7 months.
Merely because they live in a deprived area.
Paul Lawless.
I think one of the greatest inequalities is the difference between the private sector and the public sector. The five-year survival rates are 12% better for breast cancer patients from those diagnosed in the private hospital than those based within the HSE. The private system is doing better. We're failing our patients. SAILTA in the West here is consistently missing its targets in relation to cancer treatment. Cancer treatment should be available at the weekends and on public holidays. Cancer doesn't stop spreading on such days, and we should be ensuring that that this happens. The oncology unit in Mayo University Hospital is not fit for capacity. There are just 7 chairs. You know, it's a regular place that patients are being treated on trolleys. And, you know, we need to ensure that we have introduced an activity-based funding model to ensure that the patients and the money is following the patient. We also want to introduce step-down facilities to ensure that those patients, and on any given day, there's about 500 patients within the HSE system that are clinically discharged but have no place to go because of the step-down facilities.
Your time is up. I should point out that there were a number of other candidates mentioned in the course of the discussion this evening inadvertently. So if anyone heard anyone's name mentioned and want to look up all the other candidates in that constituency, you can go to rte.ie/constituencies. You can also get an update on the Know Your Constituencies podcast, about 15 minutes on all of the 43 constituencies, which has been updated as we speak. And there's also a daily Behind the Ballot podcast as well. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
Email latedebate@rte.ie.
That's all we have time for this evening. My thanks to all my guests for a very civilised discussion. We hope the listeners got the benefit of uninterrupted contributions from all of them. Mary Elizabeth Bruton was our broadcast coordinator this evening. Research was by Niamh Dunn. Aislinn Grufferty was on sound. And tonight's programme was produced by Brian Lally. We'll be coming to you from Limerick tomorrow night, but up here next on RT Radio 1, it's Cathal Murray with Late Date.